About ready to start. Okay. We were just, I was a little thrown off. There's a Smokey the Bear cartoon that comes on before they cut into the Channel 11 programming this morning, and I was thinking maybe we had some new entertainment that was being sent out. This is Thursday, October 12th, 2006, the Mesa City Council study session. We have seven items. The first item this morning is going to be to go over the agenda for the October 16th regular council meeting, which will be on Monday night, if you want to grab that in your packet. I know there was a revised one sent out, too. All right. Have page one, page two, liquor license applications. And we start with some contracts. Do I have any conflicts on any contracts? I received no notes. Jack around? All right, cool. Soon find. Oh, a good way to highlight that he showed up just a little late. Whoops. Do I have any conflicts that you know of, Jack?
I apologize, Mary.
All right, thank you. Page three. Page four. Vice Mayor.
I just have I have quick questions on 4G and 4H. I'm assuming that all of the issues with the Crown Vicks have now been resolved. We're good to go. We don't have to looking out there for some police people. Here they come.
Good morning, Mayor, Vice Mayor, Council. The issues with Crown Victorias, are you talking about the upfitting issues?
The bladder and the fuel and all of that stuff.
Go ahead.
Yeah, as far as the bladder and fuel and the vehicles catching on fire, we went with the Ford Crown Victoria manufactured system that they put in there. Initially, we looked at that system plus the bladder and everything else, but after we went and reviewed it, we found that that particular system was completely safe.
Okay. I just want to make sure that, you know, all of that was looking good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you want to answer my next question on the tasers, or is that somebody else who wants to talk to me about tasers?
I think there's somebody else.
Is it okay if I ask?
Please.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if they had brought one that we could see.
Try experience it?
No. Tom Rawls did volunteer to.
I'm sorry,
Tasers? We're talking about tasers, Tom?
The 6-1 vote, Tom.
wait, would there be sheep and wolves involved in that? I mean, yeah. Actually, is there a taser? Did we bring a model of a taser? I was just curious because I know that in the past, and I read your report, and you said that they have changed the way they look, that there isn't the same propensity for confusion on the part of the officers. And that was my question. I read all of your backup stuff. I just wondered if I could
right.
see what it looked
we,
like.
We did not bring a taser with us today. I apologize. We did for the committee session. But they are different there. It's a much smaller model. It does not look like the pistol that we carry. It's clearly a different instrument.
Would it be okay to bring one on Monday?
Absolutely. We will
okay.
make sure that we
that
do
that would be
so.
Great.
Yeah. Do we have a photo here with us?
We do not.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Monday afternoon study session will be great.
Okay, we'll bring that on Monday.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Tom.
I also think it's important to note that and Chief, maybe you can either do it today or Monday night,
right.
is that just to let the public know that you are in the process of reinstituting additional training and policies and
right.
things about how to use these. I think it's important for the community to know that we're not just buying 500 more of these, and we're doing a lot of additional training and et cetera. So could you maybe elaborate on that?
Absolutely. Not only are we having additional training, but we actually are revamping our use of force policy as it relates to tasers. We're bringing what we have done is we did kind of a national search of policies, and we took the Police Executive Research Forum's model policy on the taser, which is a very restrictive policy. And we actually went one step above that. Basically, we will only use the taser when we have a suspect that is clearly presenting a danger to us or others. Previously, we used to use the taser with a non-responsive suspect, somebody that was not following our directions. Under the new policy, the only time that we'll be able to use a taser is when we have an aggressive combative suspect, someone that is clearly intending to fight us and has the capability of doing so. So it will be kind of a two-pronged approach. Number one, they're clearly, not only are they resisting, but they're going to be combative towards us. And number two, they have the capacity of hurting us. So in other words, if we have a 5-year-old that decides to take a fighting stance, we're not going to tase a 5-year-old or an 80-year-old. But if we have someone that clearly can do us harm, then we will use a taser as one, or the taser will be one of the tools available for the officer to use.
Just to follow up, I'm assuming you didn't mean the pun when you said two-prong approach.
I think, should be more careful about using the words that I select.
I think the restriction on not using it just to obtain compliance with orders when there's no threat is a very definite step in the right direction, so I appreciate that very much.
And that will be, you know, I believe that the combination of the additional training, the new use of force policy, as well as the weapon itself, I think that you will find that the uses of tasers will be much more thoughtfully conducted than previously.
Rex.
I was chairman of the police committee. I got to experience one. They are an effective tool used right.
They are. I experienced it only once. I do not want to experience it again in my life. I guarantee you that.
Me either.
Okay. Any other questions on this one? All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And I apologize for not having that here. We'll make sure that you have it.
Okay. Okay. All right. That's page 4, page 5. Vice Mayor.
I want to note that item 5A is for introduction, so I'm not pulling it off of consent for that reason.
All right, that's page 5. Page 6, we have additional introductions. Tom.
Just for everybody's edification on 5D, this is the thing that came from the General Development Committee. Jack has prepared a draft guideline for the implementation of this new ordinance. The one that he gave us at the committee meeting was drafted starting at 10 o'clock the night before, and we had some interesting discussions about the precision of it, and so he's revised it and to reflect. So we're actually only adopting the ordinance if we do so on November 6th, but this is the guidelines that he will utilize to implement that ordinance, and I think it's a great step in the right direction. So just giving it to people now so you'll have more time to study it.
Okay, thank you. Rex.
I want to commend the General Development Committee. I'd sit in on that, and this is a step in the right direction. I believe that we've negatively incented infill and put people out on vacant pieces of land out in District 5 and 6. This puts it back into reasonability to take over an old gas station or an old building and doesn't put all the costs on an owner of a very small, troubled piece. So I think it gives us the flexibility to allow some redevelopment on private money that makes sense.
All right. Okay, that's page 6. We have page 7. Again, on resolutions on page 7. Continuing on page 8. Rex.
I just had a question for Spinner. If 6B is within 300 feet of property of Anzio Landing at the field, I don't believe it is, so it doesn't affect it, but I'd like to have a ruling by Monday, if I could.
I'll look into that. And I'm sorry, did you say you're not sure if it's within 300 feet or
it's
not?
It doesn't seem to be, but they had a new little leg coming up towards that direction I didn't expect them to have. So
we'll confirm that for you by
you.
Monday.
Otherwise, I don't think it has any effect.
On item 6D on the exchanges, can I see the real estate report, more detail on the comps on that?
Yes. Well, I don't know if that's here today. If not, we'll provide it by Monday.
Okay. Vice Mayor.
And I just want to make note, that is a Mesa United Way exchange with the City of Mesa. Kyle Jones, Scott Summers, and I are all on the Mesa United Way board. We actually stepped away from the Mesa United Way board. Scott wasn't there that day, and Kyle and I left so that they would not feel that we were unduly influencing their decision as a result of our jobs here. we don't benefit from it in any way. My understanding is we have no conflict of interest, but I just wanted everyone to know that we did not participate in that discussion. So we're looking at those things along with the rest of you.
And Vice Mayor, you're right. Under the statute, since you have a non-salaried position with United Way, that does not create a conflict. In fact, the statute specifically says in that instance it's a remote interest.
And we didn't want, and the board of United Way agreed with us. They didn't want to feel like we had somehow been there pitching the city's interest to them. And so we have stayed away from that conversation. So I just wanted you all to be aware of that.
Tom?
Just for consistency purposes, could we have item 7 taken off the consent agenda, please?
Okay. Rex?
Just going back to 6D, I don't know if it's possible or not, and whether it even is a good idea, but I wondered if United Way might consider not just receiving a note for the $175,000, not receiving the money until we sell the piece of property, which should be fairly quickly after this. So I don't know. I'd like to look in and see if that's a possibility.
We can ask. I don't know that that's a significant issue, though. I think we can find a way to pay the $175,000, and upon sale, we'll reimburse wherever we borrowed the $175,000 from. So.
Okay. That's page 8. Page 9. Vice Mayor.
Mayor, it's my understanding that on item 8C, that they're looking to continue that. I'm looking at Mr. Lake to the November 6th meeting. There's been some really good movement on that, and so that can, I think, go on consent for continuance to November 6th.
Okay. Ready? Yes.
Mayor, that is correct. I got the same message this morning. They had a neighborhood meeting on that last night, and they're working out some of the issues there that hopefully will resolve that and remove the protest.
All right.
Also want to point out on item 8B, that's the annexation that was continued from the last meeting on Broadway, so we could work with the applicant on some issues with regard to right-of-way and retention and end of the payments. We were able to have a meeting with them this week, but we're still working with them. This will not be ready by next Monday, so we need another two-week continuance on this to November the 6th to work on those issues.
All right, then let's put 8B and 8C on consent for continuance to November 6th. Is that okay with the council? All right. All right, that's page 9, page 10.
Scott.
Scott.
Thank you, Mayor. I was going to ask for a continuance on 8B as well. I just have some concern over some of this, where the discussion is headed, particularly on the in lieu payments. We'll have to have some more discussions on that. Thanks.
Okay. We're on page 10, zoning cases. Continuing on page 11. And then subdivision plats. Tom.
Well, I'll refer to John on 8H.
On I'm 8H, Mayor. That's the rezoning south of Williams Gateway to the M1. We are talking with the applicants about the development agreement that goes with that case to help reinforce some of the stipulations on the case. We've had a meeting with them this last week. We're working on that agreement. We're pretty well worked out in terms of the terms of the agreement, at least in a good draft start. The concern still is going to be the timing. Staff is still supporting the idea that the zoning not be approved until the development agreement can be approved at the same time. That raises some problems for the applicant in terms of from their end and getting that done in time for their various obligations. So we would be recommending continuance of this also to the November 6th meeting. We know it won't be done by the 16th, and we can see where we are on the 6th.
How does it work out from a legal standpoint on requiring a development agreement or requesting to see one versus granting zoning and then waiting for one to come forward later with the site plan and other issues? What's the prerogative of the council to insist on it, or the applicant to bring it forward and then have that be grounds for denial that there isn't one with it?
What we cannot do, Mayor, let me reverse it. We cannot, in a development agreement, stipulate or agree to zoning. What we can do, and what this council's being asked to do, is to rezone property, and the council has expressed some concerns and staff has some concerns, so the developer is willing to engage in a development agreement negotiations to see if an agreement can be reached which will resolve some of the issues that the council has or that staff has with regard to the zoning. It is legally permissible, but we can't do the reverse. We cannot do the development agreement agreeing to zoning. So does that answer your question, Mayor?
Right. So if somebody has existing zoning, we can say we're not switching it until we know what the site plan is going to look like for the new zoning. Is that how you have to?
Well, this is actually dealing with the zoning. It's not dealing with the site plan per se, because I think the question is with regard to the uses. Staff has some concerns about possibly hospitals or some other uses being there that are permitted under the base zoning, which they're requesting. We cannot stipulate out uses to the zoning. So if they receive a zoning district, they're entitled to any permitted uses within that zone. Here, because we're concerned about specific uses, we can reach a settlement agreement that the developer will not include certain uses. So that's what we're trying to accomplish in this development agreement, is dealing with the uses within the zoning they're requesting.
Is it the uses? Is it also the placement of those uses on the site? Because this one, I think, is affected by the freeway, which is our next discussion. So.
And it may be, but I guess I would defer to John.
Mayor, the freeway is not an issue in this particular case. It's far enough south. We're down by Pecos Road with this particular item. But there were some things in terms of the infrastructure for the area and roads, particularly Hawes Road, where it would be in that infrastructure, as well as the water and sewer. Since we're not seeing a site plan with this case, and it is large rezoning, there's some infrastructure issues we want to make sure get worked out, as well as the use issues Ms. Spinner was just referring to. So those are the reasons we have an interest in seeing the development agreement in this case, since we don't have the site plan, to help us see how compatible it will be, how those infrastructure issues will be resolved. This is another way to get at the same thing and still approve the zoning at the same time.
All right. Any questions on any of the items coming up? Tom?
Question I have on the last one we're still talking about is, does the applicant object to the two-week continuance on obtaining the zoning or not?
Hi, my name is Lindsay Shuby here on behalf of Bruce Gilbert and the applicant. Yes, the applicant would like to work forward with the zoning. We're not interested in a continuance. We have worked with John Wesley, and we're definitely agreeable to a development agreement. However, we don't want to continue the case. We need to move forward with the zoning in terms of our contractual obligations.
Okay, so you think you've got a development agreement in principle. It's not going to be finalized by Monday night.
Yes.
And you want the zoning before the development agreement is signed and finalized.
Yes.
And John's staff prefers it the other way around.
Yes, Mayor, Councilmember Rawls. We'll have no real leverage to ensure we get the development agreement if we go ahead and grant the zoning.
I'm just trying to clarify the procedural posture for everybody, and I think we probably ought to take it off consent for no other reason than that. We seem to have a difference of opinion.
Okay, let's remove 8H from consent. Wayne?
Thank you, Mayor. One of the items under discussion on this case is the location of Hawes Road that John had mentioned. Hawes Road will be the eastern entrance to the industrial area on Williams Gateway Airport on the south side. It would be needed to provide access to that area for development. There's been quite a bit of discussion between the airport, the city staff, and the applicant about the location of Hawes Road. It will benefit the applicant in that they will have a traffic signal in the entrance to the airport. It benefits the airport in that they have a convenient access to Pecos Road. But that's still an open issue as to will it be there and where will it be, and that's a concern to the airport authority. So I just thought I'd mention that as an additional concern in addition to those that John had mentioned. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council.
Okay, let's go back to our study session agenda items. Number two is to hear a presentation, discuss, and provide direction on methods to preserve the right-of-way for the future Williams Gateway Freeway.
Mayor, Council members, we're here to discuss with you this morning the Williams Gateway Freeway alignment that has been reviewed and is in the process of going through ADOT for approval. We're starting to see some development pressure out in the area where that right-of-way will be. So we wanted to bring this item to the council this morning to give you some information on that. Dan's going to talk to you about amending the transportation plan. And there's an item on your agenda Monday night, a resolution to do so. And then I'm going to speak to you about some of the development proposals that we have in the area and see if we can get some guidance and direction on how we should be responding to those so we can do the best job we can under the circumstances we have to try to work with the developers keep that right away as clear as we can when it's needed. So I'm turning it over to Dan for the first part.
Thanks, John. Good morning, Mayor and Council. What I'm going to do this morning is just give a brief history on the alignment of the Williams Gateway Freeway. This first map is from the Mesa Transportation Plan. You'll see this dotted pink line down here in Southeast Mesa. That was the initial proposed alignment. That this plan was adopted by Council in June 2002. And the alignment starts near Hawes and the 202 and proceeding southeast. And the north-south alignment there, or I guess the east-west between these two streets, is this is Ray and Williams Field. This same alignment is shown in the 2003 Regional Transportation Plan. This plan was adopted by MAG in November 2003. It's kind of tough to see. I'll have a slide blowing this up a little bit, but it's the same alignment. The current recommended alignment has changed a little bit. MAG conducted a study at Mesa's request after approval of Proposition 400. The study was the Williams Gateway Freeway Alignment and Environmental Overview Study. The purpose was to identify a preferred alignment in Maricopa County, the Maricopa County portion of the freeway. And additionally, it would develop preliminary information on facility characteristics, right-of-way needs, and environmental issues. The study was finalized in March 2006. And this alignment, as I mentioned, is different than the Mesa Transportation Plan and the Regional Transportation Plan. It extends, and you'll see it better on the next slide, but it extends further southeast and goes a mile further south before it flattens out. And this is referred to as the Fry Road alignment. And this alignment is shown in MAG's 2006 update to the RTP. Here's just a blow up of the current proposed alignment. And the Transportation Division is recommending that the Council amend the transportation plan, the Mesa Transportation Plan, to adopt this alignment through a resolution that's on your Council agenda for Monday night. That's item 6C. It's going to be the first step, really, in trying to preserve the right-of-way for the freeway corridor until such time that ADOT can conduct their design concept report and get environmental clearance. And that's a process that's going to take about 2.5 to 3.5 years. So I'll turn it over to John to describe some of his challenges with development in that area.
Mayor and Council, this first slide illustrates the overall area again of the proposed right-of-way from the 202 south and east end to the city limits or the county line. And there are four locations along there for specific site plan zoning cases we have, as well as the general plan amendment that we've been working on. The next slides will show these in a little bit more detail. The first one we want to bring to your attention is located on the west side of Ellsworth, just north of where Ray Road would be, kind of a panhandle-shaped lot there with access out to Ellsworth Road. You can see the southwest corner of this property is cut off by the freeway. West of Ellsworth Road, the exact location of the freeway right-of-way has been identified, and we know with pretty good certainty where that will be, and we can identify pretty specifically how it will affect the various properties. In this particular case, the application is for a rezoning only with no site plan. They've been able to describe to us a little bit some of their intended uses for the property, but we don't have that site plan to know specifically what will go where or what might be proposed within this right-of-way area to understand the compatibility of this site with the general plan, the surrounding properties, and the freeway. We have two cases that are further east along the proposed freeway alignment. These are out, particular ones are out by Mountain Road on either side of where Fry Road should be. As we move further east with the alignment, get east of Ellsworth Road, there's some possibility that this alignment will change until ADOT has made its final study and report. We think it will be pretty much in this location, but they are studying the alignment all the way out into Pinell County to meet up someplace, probably with US 60 or another highway out there. And depending on how all that works, there could be some shifting in this area of where the right-of-way will be. So we're dealing with that issue of not being as certain where it will be in this location. In these two particular cases we're talking about, they are requests for rezonings and site plans. So we can see very specifically what's being proposed. We can see that it's consistent with the general plan. We've got the utilities in this location to serve the development. So everything's real good to go on these particular applications, with the exception of the concern of the right-of-way and the fact that it looks pretty certain that buildings that would be built now in a few years would have to be removed to make way for the right-of-way. And then the other specific development example we have is at the southwest corner of Ellsworth and Ray Road. In this case, you can see that the proposed right-of-way goes right through the middle of this property and leaves very little of it developable in the future. In this case, the property is already zoned. It was zoned M1 a few years ago based on the previous alignment that Dan talked about that had the freeway going a little further north, and we thought that the freeway would not come through this location, so it was zoned and a plat was approved at that time. New owners are looking to do a new plat for the property and new site plan, but the zoning is already there in place, so it somewhat limits some of our options on how we can deal with that. But again, you can see that there's really not much left in terms of developing the property. And then again, the final situation we have, we've got a general plan amendment that's going through the process, which will be to the Planning and Zoning Board next week and here to the Council in December. The right-of-way for the freeway will go right through this property. This map illustrates the current proposed alignment where we think it will be. And we have an opportunity with the review of this general plan amendment to at least get some discussion in the narrative of it and recognition of it on their plans that they anticipate the right-of-way to come through this property. So those are the different situations that we have that we're currently dealing with. And now I want to review with you some of the options that we have that we might be able to put in place to help people know what's coming and to hopefully have as little impact take place in the right-of-way until ADOT's ready to require it. The first, and the one that Dan just talked about, is to modify the transportation plan so that it is clearly shown in our transportation plan. That will give us as staff the opportunity when we're working with different applicants to speak with some degree of authority that the council has approved this right-of-way. It's in our transportation plan, and please consider it in your development proposals. The second one is to post signs along the proposed right-of-way. And here's an example of one of those signs that they would look like. They've been used previously with the Santan freeway and letting people know that the right-of-way was there, that the freeway would be coming. We could do a similar thing out here in this location, post signs along that right-of-way. Some other options include with different applicants as we are working with them and approving cases. We currently have stipulations we put on cases to disclose and let future buyers know the airport and the overflights and those type of things. We can do a similar thing about the right-of-way, the future freeway, to make it a disclosure statement that would be part of their development process. Four and five kind of work together. I mentioned the one example, the first example on Ellsworth Road north of Ray, where we have a zoning only without the site plan. Because of the lack of detail of what they're proposing with their application, the inability to really determine the compatibility with that proposed zoning with the area, it would be enhanced if we had a detailed site plan. We always had a site plan with each case along the freeway to be better able to tell what they're proposing, how it will work with the surrounding properties and with the freeway. And so a choice could be to deny cases that don't have that detail that we need to evaluate the proposal. And again, we can't do that just for the right-of-way if that's the only thing that we're lacking. But that lack of site plan, again, doesn't give us complete information we might need to approve a rezoning. We could also potentially attach stipulations to the case to limit development within the proposed alignment. There are some potential downsides to this option. again, as we move further east in the alignment, we're not 100% certain where that alignment will be. And so as it adjusts, if we think we have reserved an area for the freeway and then it moves, we've either not reserved enough or reserved too much. And so that doesn't always work. Also, when we start talking about keeping an area vacant, basically not allowing a use in a particular zone, then we are taking away uses, and that could be challenged in court. Another option would be, with all cases in this area, to encourage the applicant to do it with the PAD or BIZ overlay. This will allow us to work with them, be a little bit more creative in their site planning, so that they can maybe modify some of the setbacks away from the freeway to allow them better use of those areas that we're more certain will be kept free, and make it a little bit easier for them to put less intensive uses on the areas where the freeway will be located, so that it'll be easier to deal with in the future. There's some potential of right-of-way dedication along the Fry Road alignment. That's an alignment that we would expect to be dedicated with any development along it. We can't really ask for dedication of the right-of-way for the freeway itself. That's out of scale with the rezonings and things we're talking about. But we could ask for that Fry Road alignment dedication. The potential downside there typically is when we ask for a dedication like that, we're then also asking them to improve that roadway. And we wouldn't really want anybody improving the Fry Road roadway at this time, because it would just, again, be something to move out of the way when the freeway would be constructed. And then the last two options, purchasing property may be something that would need to be done or you might want to consider. The example of the property at the southwest corner of Ray and Ellsworth is probably a prime example of that. We know exactly where the right-of-way is going to be in that location. We can see that it's not really going to leave much developable property to be used, and rather than, again, have complications in the future by having that developed, you might want to consider that in that particular situation and others like it. And then the final one, dealing with the general plan amendments, again, if we would, applicants in those cases would show that alignment, talk about it in the narratives, give some acknowledgement that it's coming, would be helpful later as we look at more specific development proposals in those cases. That's the presentation that we have and the options that we've been discussing as staff that we might be able to use with these development proposals. We have two of these that are on Planning and Zoning Board next week that have been continued, waiting for us to get a little bit of direction, policy guide from the council on how you'd like to see those addressed. Items number 1 and 3 from the maps are the two that are on council or on PNZ next week. And so we're looking for any direction you might have for us.
Kyle. What is the process to have a definitive answer for people what that alignment will be, how far out in the future, how so that people say, yes, this definitely is the alignment, it's not proposed, it's not maybe, this is it? How do we get to that point?
Mayor, Councilmember Jones, that's going to be a 2.5 to 3.5 year process. ADOT needs to get the final design concept report and complete environmental clearance for that area before they will say this is absolutely the alignment.
And so without that absolute, how do we resolve these pending cases? That's the question we're talking about right now. But if we don't have a definitive, we're making assumptions, we're saying, well, that's what we're planning, but we can't tell you for sure, and they're investing thousands upon thousands of dollars on getting set up, and we can't give them a straight answer.
Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, unfortunately, that's the case that we're in right now.
Did you ask a question, Tom?
No.
Okay. Sorry. Councilmember Jones, excuse me. We do send letters currently to ADOT for all these cases in the area, give them the opportunity to comment, but because they have not officially designated the right-of-way at this point, they have no comment. So the best that we're really able to do is to give them a heads up. Hopefully they can make an informed decision and understand the risks that they're taking as they move forward.
Okay.
Currently, there's some money out that the legislature approved for either acceleration or congestion mitigation. The STAND money is what it's referred to, about $187 million in Maricopa County. I believe there's $2 million a year for right-of-way acquisition, which is, just hopefully inadequate, but I'm trying to push through with, for the East Valley, that some of that money be used for upfront right-of-way acquisition. But we still get into the same issue a little bit on some of the properties that Kyle's talking about. Which properties do you acquire? If you're at 15%, I think they're only at 15% design at this point. So, you know, until you get up to 30 to 50%, it's hard to really know where that alignment's going to be with any type of certainty. I think you can be within 25 to 50 feet in many cases, but it's even potential that they find something environmentally out there and some wash or something and cost too much to engineer around it, so they switch the alignment. So that's the fear we have. But my focus will be to try to free up more money for acquiring right-of-way that we can identify in the gateway area as one of Mesa's priorities for that money. Whether that's successful, because the west side's after the 303 and trying to accelerate it, there's lots of needs, and Phoenix has some issues with it going to the east side and west side without some of it doing some congestion mitigation for in the downtown Phoenix area. So I guess the my first choice would be identify the right-of-way and buy it before they do development on it. The other one was to try to work with the developers as much as possible to know what the site plan is, so that if it does come through there, it's not a full take and it takes out a full manufacturing business or all of their parking or something. So do something knowing that there's going to be an alignment with a certain amount of certainty, and see what flexibility we have on site plans to plan it out, whether that can be storage or something else that's not the corporate office being built on that particular part of the property. So if there is a take later, we both minimize the cost of that take. The other one is to try to coordinate the road system and the access and the visibility and everything else through the design process, so it also benefits the landowners that are along that those routes. So make sure that they're in the discussions when we get to the engineering, so that they know the impact on visibility and access and what it does to their parcels. The Fry Road alignment, I did have a question on it. That would typically be a dedication to the city. So how does that work if there hasn't been a dedication on Fry? Can you ask for that knowing that that's going to be the freeway, or do you have to still pay for that because it's a freeway? Which one has the priority, the city's dedication for a road or ADOT buying for the freeway?
Mayor, given that the Fry Road alignment is a designated alignment in our transportation plan, we can ask for that portion to be dedicated as part of development proposals along that freeway or along that roadway, just as we do any place else in the community. But it would just be for that much of the right-of-way.
Okay, and what is the typical 120 feet, 60, 60? Or what do we normally?
A total of 130 feet.
130?
Curb to curb, yes.
Okay, so you've got 130 of what, 300? Is that what they're doing now for a freeway? 320?
Mayor, I'm not sure the typical width. Something on that magnitude, yes. The Fry Road alignment would be 130 from right-of-way to right-of-way. The street presumably would be something probably 88 feet or 94. But
okay.
For the freeway, three times as large perhaps.
All right. And then with the freeway there and they dedicate right-of-way, then you still need some type of an access road for probably some of the parcels, because might not be able to get through to them. I haven't looked at all of the plots, but there may be some issues with access. So I would just have a conversation, sit down, and see if there's any win-wins on this thing, knowing the other one is what is this, 2013 to 2017 type of time frame on this freeway? I think we're out 10, 15 years.
At least 10 years, man.
Okay. So that's a lot of use for a property that you can't just say you can't build and use it without buying it from them. So I'll try to work on the money aspect. The other one we might want to look at, and this was successful before, is we did a freeway acceleration plan for the residents of Mesa. Maybe we actually throw something on a bond and we up front and do a freeway land. We acquire it in Mesa's name and then sell it off at a later date and just pay the carrying charge so that we're not penalizing the landowner for that. So I'd be curious to see if that's possible to do first, whether it's something that we can legally do, and then if there's a will to proceed from this council to actually put it on a bond election so that those property owners aren't penalized. So those would be my input into it. Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. I guess one of the good pieces of news in this is that we've been waiting a long time for the kind of development that we're now getting. And so now we have a problem because we're getting the development, which is it's that old good news, bad news scenario. I like that last suggestion that you had, Mayor, of our trying to do some sort of acceleration on it. I'd love to see even an acceleration on the construction through that method if we possibly could. I don't think we could through bonding. But the acceleration would be of the construction would also be a benefit to all the property owners out there. One of the things that I was thinking about, I know that we don't like site planning that involves bubble plans, but, you know, I'm wondering in this instance if it wouldn't make some sense to allow bubble planning for site plans, because I know our concern is to grant zoning without the site plan, that then we've given people rights that could be very difficult for us in the future. But if they, and their concern is that you're asking me when I haven't sold my land yet to site plan it with specific buildings on it. But if you could bubble plan it that says only these areas will be allowed to have buildings, all of this area will have to be parking, open space, something else, and do that kind of a general site plan instead of a specific site plan, it might get around the issue. The other way I thought of getting around the issue was that we pay for either this site plan or the next iteration of the site plan so that they don't have two site plan costs. But only in these instances where it's being impacted by the potential alignment of the freeway. That way it doesn't represent an additional cost to the property owner that their original site plan had to be modified. So those were two things that I thought of that might address this whole issue in the areas where we were more certain of where the freeway alignment was going. In terms of the others, I would like to pursue those directions that the mayor mentioned. I like those. I think that that's a good way to go, and I do think we need more money in order to do the acquisition. Otherwise, what we're doing is a functional taking, because if you're looking at something that's out to 2013 to 2017 and you don't allow somebody's use, I would feel like somebody had just done a taking on my parcel. So we've got to find a way around that. Is there any way, Dan, to accelerate that timeline on identifying the alignment? Is there something we could do to help accelerate the timeline?
I think if we helped, we might get it closer to the 2.5 rather than the 3.5, but it's still going to be a ways out.
Well, I'd rather have the 2.5 than the 3.5. Sure. I mean, you know, that allows us a little more certainty. Thanks, Mayor.
Okay. Other questions or comments? Direction, Rex.
You know, one thing I am concerned, not holding property owners hostage over you don't know when, where, and if something is coming through. Hopefully we know it's going to happen someday in the near future. I'd like to give them options. If they want to hold their property for ADOT money coming through, and then, as you know, all the off-ramps come very valuable on their property, that's great. That's land speculation. That's a choice the developers can bear. If they want to plan their property and maybe do something with it now, they'll have the right to do that with awareness of the potential freeway, i.e., where you put your parking, retention basins, etc. I believe in the Fry Road dedication. We'd have that normally. I hate to just walk away from that. If we could do the Fry Road dedication and buy the existing land around it, it might be the best of all worlds, whether you use Pinal County water money and we sell that property and we land bank it over here for the freeway coming through the next few years, or we use a bond mechanism. I don't care. Some of the developers may want a partnership and say, gee, this is going to be valuable. As long as you make sure the off-ramp goes on our property, we're very happy with that. Other ones may want to hold it, and other ones may want to, you know, get building right away as long as we took our right away. I'm not in favor of doing like an Ahwatukee where you're going to have to 3 years from now buy whole buildings and mow down houses and, you know, factories and pay that kind of taxpayer money to get the access we already know, sort of know where it's going right now. So those would be my three options.
Yes.
Mayor, let me just mention something. One of the reasons we want to bring this forward is because of that. The issue really is we only know what we know today, but it's better than not knowing anything about what might happen out there. So we really are trying to disclose as best we can and work with property owners on there about the potential of what might happen, even though it's years in advance. So on one side, I think we're being very open and honest about the possibility, so someone can't say, I didn't know, if you would have told me. So we're telling you. Right now, we're telling you the possibilities there. In the end, this is an ADOT project that will be their dollars that will have to figure out how to buy the right-of-way, whatever is there or isn't there, the land or the improvements that are there. I think what we're trying to do is put the city in a better position so when those dollars are available, they can go further along in the project. So we hope that we have cooperative property owners who understand and have the vision that we do, that there ultimately will be a freeway here. We're trying to give them the best guess as we know today, as well as our concern is that next generation property owner or developer who may not be here today but will be looking at that property in the future. So I think that's where we want to go. As far as buying the right-of-way today for the city, my caution to you is this. We right now don't have the funds in the near term, frankly, in the very immediate, I'll call it the immediate term, even to leverage the dollars from Prop 400. So that concerns me about where those new dollars would come from when we have projects that we've already talked about that have dollars that we're trying to leverage with, and we don't have those. So a mayor I know is very good. He's got a reputation of working very hard on the regional level to bring those dollars to Mesa, and I think that's really where we need to go. Looking at a bond election may be something to do in the future. I can tell you there are a tremendous amount of needs out there under streets. But right now I think the direction we need is just this is the alignment, and we'll take the direction from council to try to work with property owners. Again, it's a full disclosure issue, and we're not trying to take people's property, but we really are trying to let them know in advance what may be coming. Thank you.
Okay. Tom?
Several points. First of all, let me try to clarify something on application number four. I think you said that west of Ellsworth, we know where the freeway alignment is.
Yes.
So at this point, this particular landowner knows that the freeway is going to cut his property in two. He's going to have two disjointed pieces that are about, looks like less than half of the total piece of property. He wants a site plan and a preliminary plat because he already has zoning?
Yes.
So he wants to build in the freeway alignment? I mean, have we seen the site plan?
We have. Councilman Rawls come in thus far with a pre-submittal for that plat and site plan.
Which includes some kind of physical structures being built in the alignment?
It includes about acre lots being built through there for industrial-type development.
And I agree with the sentiments that have been expressed. It's a little difficult for us to say, no, you can't use your property for the next 10 or 15 years because we plan on building a freeway here. On the other hand, I think this whole discussion that we're having today is designed to see if there's not some way that we can keep the costs down so that we can stretch the dollars as far as possible. That's why we're having the discussion, right?
Right.
Okay. I have no idea what you do with this one then. I just have to tell you, on number four, I mean, I don't know what we can do. I think you have to. I mean, I think it's one of those that you have to almost take your lumps and deal with it. But when we get further out into the more speculative two and three applications and further east, I think we've identified some things that we definitely ought to do. One, we ought to adopt the alignment on Monday night. We should put up signs. We should require full disclosure for subsequent sales, which I think is your number three. To the extent that we can, we should sort of, I'm more in favor of item number four than I am item number five, but I think we ought to voluntarily ask developers, and I think the full disclosure requirement not only goes from today's owner to the next buyer, but it also is from the city. When they bring a proposal in, we say, gee, by the way, do you know that you're building in the way of the alignment? And is there some way that we can work with you to put your buildings away from the freeway. And if they're unwilling to give us that kind of detail, then we sort of fall back to where we are on application number four. I don't know what we can do. But I think the way Chris described it, the more voluntary cooperation we can get, the more detail we can get, the more flexibility. And first time I've ever heard about bubbles and this kind of thing. But, you know, if we can do those kinds of things, let's do them, the kind of things that will give us the flexibility. I have to tell you now that I have a little trouble taking dedication for a city street that we know we're never going to build. We don't have the authority to demand a dedication from somebody for a freeway. We have the authority to demand a dedication for a roadway or street. But we know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, that we're never going to build that. And I'm not saying I would definitely oppose it, but I got to tell you, at first blush, talking about it here this morning, it makes me feel uncomfortable. Because we're on the one hand, we're talking about full disclosure. On the other hand, we're saying we want your property for a street that we're never going to build. We're going to turn it in, you know, something we can still sort of fudge and say it's like a freeway or it's going to be a freeway. But I have a little trouble with that. I haven't thought it through, but that's where I am right now.
Okay, Mike.
Just on that point, I agree with Tom on a take on Fry Road. Unless we actually build Fry Road, I wouldn't want to do that. My question is on the GM Proving Grounds. How is that process going, and what input do we have on the general plan that would designate a route? And what are they? Multiple questions. Are they working with ADOT to try to come up with some sort of a general idea?
Mayor, Councilmember Whalen, I guess you had two questions. Where are we on that? The general plan amendment goes to PNZ next week and will be before you in December, so we're nearing the final stages. Their illustrations do show the potential of the freeway, according to the alignment that has been approved thus far through MAG. So they are willing to indicate that in their drawings and in their narrative, that the freeway is coming and is an integral part of their development.
Is that in their retail section?
It the way it's designed right now, they are proposing a regional commercial center on the north side, along with some single-family residential. Then on the south side is their proposed urban center with a variety of employment uses.
And have they structured off-ramps and everything else?
They have them superimposed on their drawings the plans that the city has. So, yes, they're showing the same system.
Knowing that would be 10 to 15 years away.
Right. And subject to some change, but they're acknowledging that the right-of-way would be there. So I think pretty much they're doing what we would want to see somebody do.
My question to you, Mayor, is that what has been done on the 303 alignment? There's a lot of property in that right-of-way out there. Has that all been purchased and dedicated, or is that still a subject to the same type of costs that we will have for this freeway corridor?
Yeah, my understanding is they still have some right-of-way to acquire. I do not know the extent of that.
Because that would be something that's planned earlier than this, and so therefore we'd be fighting the west side for those amounts of money.
The hope on doing right-of-way acquisition is some of the senators that put the money in understood that that's what caused the original proposition to not be fully built. It took out the paradise and limited it. So if they can do early land acquisition, it reduces the cost, and it also gives you a certainty of where the freeways are going so you can develop around it. So those are the two pluses that the legislature was looking at for land. So that and congestion mitigation, some immediate results, which are somewhat in conflict, are the two issues that I'm working on.
And would these monies also be in competition with, as Rex said, the Ahwatukee land?
They're in competition with all projects that have to do with transportation.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, well, all freeway projects, because it is limited to freeways. Vice Mayor.
Two things. First of all, my suggestion on the bubble planning was not to go citywide with that. That was, I understand that isn't something we want to do generally. I'm just talking about in this area. The idea behind a dedication of right-of-way, my understanding is the dedication of right-of-way actually helps the properties that are along the right-of-way. And And so their property value increases as they have a dedication of right-of-way because they have access to the property, they have cars going past their businesses and all of those things. Freeways generally bring a lot of cars past a business, and freeways generally are a good thing. So I'm wondering, I understand what you're saying on one hand. On the other hand, I don't understand it at all. I think that the dedication of the right-of-way needs to occur. Maybe what we could do is enter into some sort of an intergovernmental agreement with ADOT or, you know, one of those entities so that the understanding is that it will either be acquired for Fry Road or for the freeway usage. Because to say that we would never build Fry Road assumes that life would never change. And if I've learned one thing, it's that life changes. Plans get moved and freeway alignments that we think are set today get moved tomorrow. And I would really hate to see us not do a road dedication of some kind there. I think that would be incredibly short-sighted on our part. So to look at something that would allow for an either-or situation, either a road being developed there that's a city road or a freeway being developed there that is under ADOT's jurisdiction. And so if we need to do an IGA in order to do that, well, then let's look at that.
It follows in the way we finance our road system. We don't have a road impact fee, so if we're going to continue to do dedication, we need dedication. So if it's a quarter or the half miles and the major arterials and the half miles down to semi-arterials, I think we need to keep that pattern. So I would agree with the Vice Mayor on that one, that let's not give up the Fry Road dedication as part of the component to get this road built. There may need, for sure, though, need to be the access roads, because there may be unique parcels that are not accessible to the freeway or would be landlocked otherwise. So I'd have to look at it on a parcel-by-parcel basis, but I'm still in favor of the dedication of the right-of-way. Or we do an impact fee for transportation and change our methodology, but that's historically how we've done it. Right. Scott.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm going to concur with that. I think we need to do the dedication of the right-of-way. Also, I might be a little loose in my definition, but whether we build Fry Road or it's a freeway, it's a road. And if I were a property owner, I'd at least want to know that something was going to go through there. If we don't do the dedication, then none of that land is dedicated, and we know that the freeway is going to go through. While case four is certainly a concern, that property, it's just going to be obliterated. It's the only way I can say it. It goes right through the middle of this thing. What's even more disconcerting, at least for me, is looking farther out, because we're going to vote on here on Monday is very important. We need to identify where we expect the road to go, but ultimately it's going to take another 3 years for the state to have the final say. And once we get out toward Mountain Road, we have two properties here that are being nicked on the edges as far as what we're identifying, but that road could move 100 feet up or down depending on whether they find pottery or a burrowing owl or just bad land to build on. This is where it gets a little more foggy, in my opinion, because even with what we adopt here on Monday as what Mesa sees as the alignment, it's ultimately the state's decision. And how are we going to direct or regulate or suggest what land uses can be placed there for a freeway that's not going to be here in 15 years? And number three, I believe it's number three, we already have a business that wants to move in here.
Yes.
From Chandler, right?
I believe that's correct.
Yeah. They want to put a business here. They're bringing in from Chandler. They're going to bring some employment here and a mix of wages, good use. But just like in case four, property three, with just a little bit of movement by the state, could be obliterated too. So do we make them wait 15 years? Do we buy the property, which we don't have the money for? We don't even have all of our matching dollars. Even with the sales tax increase, we do not have all of our matching dollars for Prop 400 money for our street improvements. It gets tougher the farther out this gets, the farther along the alignment it gets. So I think all of the suggestions we heard today as far as looking for maybe the bond idea, I think, was unique to possibly acquire some of the property. We can sell later down the road if we don't need it, but anything we can do to help acquire some of that property and above all, protecting the rights. I mean, we really have some takings issues that I'm concerned with when we start limiting. There's got to be a balance between the needs of the public and building this road, because it absolutely is an essential component of the development and the economic component of Mesa's future in the 2025 plan. But to tell somebody they can't use their property when it's way out on Mountain Road, and we don't even know for certain where that alignment's going to be, it gets pretty murky when we get into those waters. So, thank you.
Okay. Tom?
On the subject of the dedication, again, I appreciated the comments two of you made, particularly Claudia, when you said that the dedication of the street helps improve the value of the property, but that's because cars are going by and can pull in. That's okay?
Sure.
And so then that dovetails with what you were saying, Mayor, about, well, we need to see where the access road is and those kinds of things. So, I'm not definitive on this. I see that there's both sides to it. What I would like to know, though, is from the city attorney, and not today, just so that she wake her up over there. So she can let us know whether or not we have the legal authority to require a dedication for a street that we know we're not going to build, because a freeway, we've already adopted a freeway alignment in the same place that we're not going to build. Seems to me that's a very legitimate legal question. I mean, because tomorrow, Monday night, we're going to adopt an alignment inside for a freeway. Inside of that alignment is the Fry Road alignment. Can we require dedication of property for that Fry Road alignment that we know we're never going to build because we've already approved a freeway alignment there? That's the legal question.
Councilmember Rawls, I will double check that and get back with you Monday, but I think it goes back to what Vice Mayor Walter said. Since we don't know for certain that ADOT is going to build the freeway, we believe they are and we expect they are, but we don't know that for certain since it has not been aligned. And the state statute says that we can require dedications that are reasonably required by or related to the effect of the rezoning. So if they are going to require some type of roadway in that area due to the rezoning, we can require dedication, and I think that's what we are reserving in this case.
Okay, let me ask John a question then. How is applicant 3 getting to its property now? Because it's not going to wait 15 years to have – it's not going to build its facility in 2007 and then wait until 2018 to have the first person get there on a road.
Correct.
They're going to get there somewhere between now and then.
Right.
So how are they going to get
there? Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, they have access to Mountain Road, and
okay.
That's what their site plan shows actively using.
Okay, then I guess I would then ask the question, since this has to be related, the road dedication has to be related to the zoning the way you just described it. If they're getting access on some other road, I'm not sure that there's that nexus.
I think the argument would be one piece of access is not necessarily sufficient. As the area continues to build up, obviously additional roads are going to be required.
But this, okay, we'll talk about this later, but the statute said that caused by the development or the rezoning, not caused by the development around the rezoning property. Okay, so I just think it's important to get a legal opinion as to what we can and can't do. I don't know where I'm coming down substantively, but I think I need to know whether I can before I decide whether I will.
Okay, questions? Rex?
I'd like a bit of information from our transportation department, and this is a far-flung just bit of information. If we built Fry Road where the freeway alignment is, what's the approximate cost in today's dollars, asphalt, et cetera, just a two-lane road, simplest road we can build with some intersections as it crosses Mountain, it crosses Ellsworth, et cetera. What's the approximate dollar value of that today's dollars? And it doesn't have to be today, but if you can sort of give that to me.
I can get you an approximate cost. So
thank you.
It's kind of a moving target right now. Hopefully it's slowing down a little.
Give or take $5 million. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mayor, Councilmember Griswold, what we'll probably do is use Pecos Road estimates and update them since we've done that.
That would be valuable, put the magnitude in there and the road. If let's say thinking out loud that if you build a two-lane road where the freeway is going to be for 15 years down through there connected to Mountain, and all the developers along there paid for it and used it for 15 years, what would be the cost of building that road? Obviously, not all the developers aren't going to build it because it would be a little hodgepodge road as people develop. We'd normally do it and get paid back. So what would that value of that magnitude be?
Mayor, just in the short term, I know this isn't a long-term answer, but Fry Road, for example, is not a main arterial. It's a half, and it's possible we'll look just for 2 and 3, sites 2 and 3. It may not even affect those because the alignment may not even be in within the parcels. So we'll at least look at that. It's a short-term answer to 2 and 3. It isn't a long-term answer.
What made me think about is Grove on the new Pecos Road below Williams Gateway. No sidewalks, no sides, just a two-lane road connecting. But it does help connect it now, and Ritter House is all obliterated that way. So it's an interesting idea.
Okay. Any other questions on Scott?
One more, Mayor, and I don't know who to ask this on. But if, just posing the question, if the proposed freeway were to move fairly significantly to the north or to the south, leaving the Fry Road alignment open, is that, are we certain that we will never build Fry Road?
Good point.
No. Because if there's a possibility we're going to build Fry Road, assuming that this freeway moves, we should have the right-of-way.
Right.
The Mayor, then, if you don't mind, I'd just like to go back through and touch base on these. The resolution you'll have on your agenda for Monday. Posting the sign sounded like there was support for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And we will then work with each applicant also in terms of a disclosure statement to be part of the approval of any cases that come through. From there, it's mostly we'll be working with the applicants with their individual site plans, be more flexible in some bubble-type site plans to give us some feel for how they're planning to develop the property. If we discuss dedication some more, and it may be the first case that comes through that has the option for dedication when you'd really have that opportunity, but we'll see as those come up when that will really become an issue. That sounded like the main direction that we got here and where we will go. The idea of purchasing property is one I'm sure you all will be working on it at your level.
Okay. And then we're designating the alignment in the general plan.
Right.
Anything else? All right. Very good.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, item number 3, acknowledging receipts of minutes of various boards and committees. We have 3 in front of us. I have a motion. Is there a second? And all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes. Here reports on meetings and our conferences attended. Scott.
Thank you, Mayor. The Mayor and I attended Banner Baywood's new patient tower grand opening. As a matter of fact, they should be moving patients into a new and expanded intensive care unit here, I believe, on Sunday.
Very nice.
There has been quite a bit of growth over in District 5 and District 6, which Rex and I will attest to. And this hospital has expanded tremendously over the past couple of decades, from just a simple community hospital to full service. There's now an obstetrics unit that sees quite a bit of business. Banner Hospitals have been doing a lot of work here in Mesa. Looking forward to seeing some more work here with the Children's Center, East Mesa, the Desert Facility, and hopefully one day a Level 1 Trauma Center. So it was very, very nice to see a nice facility, all private rooms. So I don't intend to be a customer, but you never know.
Good. Vice Mayor.
Thank you. I don't think anybody ever intends to be a customer, but I was also there with the mayor and with the Councilmember Summers.
I owe her an apology.
We actually saw each other. He just forgot. It's absolutely beautiful. They've done a wonderful job. So if you're going to be sick, it's a good place to be sick. I was on Friday, I think it was. I was at the was Friday the day that it rained so much? The light rail assistance plan program at the bank. Oh, my goodness, why am I doing this? At One McDonald Center, and I should be giving a plug for their bank. So somebody help me out with the name of the bank.
U.S.
Thank you, U.S. Bank. Oh, my goodness. If it helps anybody, I forgot my husband's name one day when I was introducing him. So U.S. Bank is partnering with the city, and we approved CDBG dollars last year as backup on that for loaning out for the light rail assistance program. I also attended that afternoon a funeral for Dr. Troy Brinkerhoff, who has been a great physician in our community, a surgeon, and unfortunately passed away from a very sudden heart attack at a very young age. And it was a nice tribute to him. I think that's it, Mayor. I think there might be more, but I can't remember what it is if I can't remember my husband's name.
Anyone else? Yes.
Last week I attended the ribbon cutting for a Wells Fargo Bank branch on the campus of Mesa High School, a very unique situation, a full-service bank right there in the school building. Saturday morning had a pancake breakfast at Fire Station 2, and I would like to personally thank our city manager and our police chief and fire chief for coming out and interacting with residents. It was a very successful morning, and they had questions and were appreciative of the responses that they got. Also on Saturday afternoon, went to a memorial service for Miguel, the individual who was found in an alleyway there in the Evergreen neighborhood. Very nice service, coming together the neighborhood there. In fact, I'll be meeting with that neighborhood tonight. Also, another incident on Saturday night is my daughter got engaged, so I'm happy for that one. And then Tuesday I went to a joint meeting of many partners within the community for family-to-family community partnership on the awareness and working to get more foster families to address the need we have there. We have a tremendous shortage of foster families for children who need placement, and we're working on a coalition there to improve that situation.
Rex.
Last Thursday, the mayor and I got to meet with the new site leader of Boeing, O.B. Jones, and he wants to be an active corporate partner in Mesa, and their employment's holding steady above 4,000 employees, so that's very good news for the city. On Tuesday, I got to meet with the Tonto Forest officials about the possibility of connecting our trail there from Gilbert to Power Road along the edge of the river and what we need to do to then connect it to 16 miles of Tonto Forest trails there on. So it was a good meeting. Wednesday, the Chamber of Commerce put on a business-to-business, a lot of booths over the convention center, a lot of local businesses. Visionaire was there booking a lot of flights to Las Vegas. So it was from Williams Gateway. So they're doing fairly well from what I hear, flying from Williams Gateway to Las Vegas and back.
Number five, scheduling the meetings and general information. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Reminder that there will be a fire committee meeting at 3:30 on Monday, this October 16th, and that will be followed by our study session and council meeting. On Wednesday, October 18th, the joint Mesa City Council Mesa Public Schools board meeting will be at 7:30 a.m. at the Mesa Schools boardroom on 549 North Stapley. We'll have a Thursday, October 19th, a study session, followed by a utility committee meeting. Also, another opportunity for the council is Tuesday, October 24th, is a dinner with ASU, and this will be at the ASU Polytechnic campus from 6 to 8. That's October 24th. And I also want to give you some dates. Hopefully you've will be available. We've cleared on your calendars is that we've scheduled the city council retreat for Friday, November 17th. That will be held in the Mesa Public Library Saguaro Room. Our facilitator for that exercise will be Mr. Bob Ashcroft. And Mr. Ashcroft is actually going to be here on the 27th of October to meet with council members who may be available, so he'd like to visit talk to the council about expectations and talking through the exercise. I know some are not available for the on here on October 27th, but just be prepared. He would then like to go ahead and just call you by phone and just do it over the phone. So if you're not available on the 27th, which some of you are not, he will be calling you, and it's Mr. Bob Ashcroft. Also, just a few other items need to bring to your attention. Is
We have announced to the staff, and I think it goes out officially today, the appointment of, well, we have the retirement, first of all, of Ruth Ann Norris, who's the city's housing director, but retiring at the end of this month on October 31st. In anticipation of her departure, we'll be appointing Kit Kelly as acting community revitalization and housing director. We'll be combining that under one person. So we do have, I do have a memo here with a org chart, so the council may have that to kind of see how that's been realigned. So that's all I have. Thank you, Mayor.
All right. Vice Mayor.
Immediately after this meeting, there's a finance committee meeting?
Yes, audit and finance, yes.
Okay. Rex?
And Wayne Baumer's retirement party, I believe, is on Friday at...
Wednesday at...
Wednesday.
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
All right. Do we have any requests to speak under prescheduled or items from citizens present?
We have no speakers, Mayor. Okay.
Then the study session is adjourned. Thank you.